So tonight, in keeping with our theme for the year, I decided to talk about making time for family. Notice I didn't say finding time for family. You have to make time for your family. We'll talk about that in a minute. A little warning about this sermon before we start. Some of this may be hard to hear tonight. I know it's hard for me to preach because some of this stuff I struggle with. So I'm technically preaching to myself tonight. So it's hard, but tonight I want to invite you, as we start off, to turn to Matthew 6. It was read from earlier. We're going to have the majority of our sermon come from Matthew 6. We're going to skip around a little bit, but if you want to go ahead and mark in Matthew 6 there, we'll be going to it first, and then we'll be coming back to it later on this evening. Finding or making time for family. I'm a Star Trek geek. If you don't know that about me already, that's what you should know. And in the 1994 movie, Star Trek Generations, Captain Kirk is finding retirement a little boring. He's used to adventure, and he's only been retired for a couple of months, and he is bored. And he is touring the new Enterprise. He's at the launch of the new Enterprise, and he sees all these young men and women, this young captain that's going to be taking this new Enterprise out. And he cannot believe how young they are. He says to himself, he sees Mr. Sulu's daughter, okay? 23 years old, she's driving the Enterprise. He sees Mr. Sulu's daughter, and he says to himself, when did Sulu find time for a family? And then Scotty comes up and chimes in, and he says, well, it's like you always say, sir, if something's important, you make the time. If something is important to us, we make the time to do it, don't we? If something is something of import to us, then we do make that time in our schedule and fit that in to do that thing, don't we? Our families, and this is the overlying point tonight, should be important to us. Our families, and we should make time to be with them. We must be actively creating opportunities to make time for our families. We should be searching out ways to do this. We should be firm and do whatever it takes, and whatever demands are put on us, we might have to draw some lines and say no in order to make time for our families. That's some of the things we're going to be talking about tonight. The question that we're going to try to answer tonight is, why is it so hard to make time for our families? Why is it so difficult? I asked this question on Facebook. Got a lot of great responses. I know that type is a little small, but Craig Evans, who actually spoke here in December, said, I believe that we let life schedule us instead of letting us schedule life. Luke Gard is a youth minister. He comes to us at Advances sometimes. He says, cliche and short answers, our priorities are jacked up. Our priorities are messed up is what he's saying. My mom, my own mother, says, we get busy with material things and we let them take over our family time together. Our own Nicole Wakefield down there says, you don't find time, you make it. And then that takes effort. Curtis Self here says, as everyone else has said, money, material things, we try to buy our family's happiness. Christy Hobbs there in the middle says that she wishes she would have kept the TVs out of her kids' rooms. That may have solved some problems before. Now it's not TVs you got to worry about. It's iPhones and iPads and all that sort of thing. This is clearly an issue with which most of us struggle. Some of us do a great job. I have seen some of us do great jobs leading our families and leading our children to godly things. Some of us struggle, like me. So what are we going to be talking about? Number one this morning, or this evening rather, because we don't have our priorities straight. Why can't we make time for our families? Well, the reason number one, I believe, is that we don't have our priorities straight. I am a youth minister. This is like the greatest youth minister shot ever right here. Kids obeying and behaving and doing what they're supposed to be doing. And it's like perfect, right? This never happens, by the way. Come to day camp and I'll show you. But I'm a youth minister and I understand these kind of things. You know, this time of year is a big planning time of year for me. I'm extremely busy. I'm planning in January, February, March, I'm planning the entire year up to August. When August rolls around, that's what Bonnie and I refer to as Bonnie and Chad happy time, okay? That is, yay, we get to take a vacation. The kids are going back to school. We deliberately don't plan anything. They need to acclimatize to what they're going to be doing. Families need that time off from youth group activities and different things to go back to school. So we have a little time off. But as a youth minister, and as a Marine before that, I understand demanding jobs. I understand crazy work schedules. I understand demanding hours. I understand that sometimes the job just has to get done. It has to be done that day or that week or whatever. But the time that we are taking away from our families with whatever it is that we're doing, whether it's work or whether it's something else, is having long-lasting effects, especially on our kids. I'm a relatively new father, so I may not have any actual practical experience here, but I do have some, I guess what you would call observational experience. I was an intern at a church, a very large church, in Huntsville, Alabama, and I was under a minister who was, you could easily classify him as a workaholic. He would literally be at the office at 6:30 a.m. in the morning and probably wouldn't leave sometimes till 7 or 8 at night, every night. And he did a great job, but it didn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that his family suffered for it. His relationship with his wife was strained. His kids were not followers anymore. And when we don't spend that time, when we don't give that time to our families, when we don't prioritize that time with our families, those kind of things happen. Parents that make their families a priority have happier, more spiritually healthy kids. That's a fact. Solutions for making time for your family is not easy. Coming up with a solution is not like a microwave solution here. It's not beep, 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 put it in the microwave for 30 seconds, it's done, you've got a solution. These things are crockpot solutions. These things take time. These things you have to go through and trudge through, and you have to stay on top of them. You know, our lives should be structured like this. This is what an ideal life should look like. God, family, work. Or God, family, something else. Right? But oftentimes, it's kind of like this. Or any kind of variation in between. Sometimes we'll have work at the top, career at the top, making money at the top. Maybe we'll have family. Maybe we'll have God. Maybe God is somewhere in there somewhere. Our priorities are messed up. We must make God the first priority. Then everything else, if we make him the first priority, will fall into place. We must think of church as essential to our lives and the first priority, not simply another thing to do on the list. Matthew 6:33, Jesus says this. He says, but seek first, notice that word first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Jesus is saying that when we don't put God first, our lives are out of focus. I'm sure most of us have been to the optometrist's office. They sit you in that chair. They make you put one hand over your eye and read letters that you can't even see, right? And then sometimes they put that funky thing on your face and they click it and they say, which looks better, one click or two? And you're like, I don't see a difference. You know, I don't understand. I don't see the difference in what you're trying to tell. And we go to the optometrist's office and we don't understand the gradualness of our vision losing. We don't just wake up one morning and say, oh, wow, I can't see this morning. It's kind of blurry. Maybe I should go to the optometrist. It's a gradual thing. And sometimes we don't notice that our lives are out of focus until it's too late. Sometimes the changes and concessions that we're making are so subtle that we can ignore them. We miss a ball game here or there. We miss an activity. We miss a church service. And before long, we look up and we've missed a whole month or a year. And we make those concessions in our lives and we think it's just so gradual that we don't notice it. I admire Steve Jobs, his ideas. Not the man himself, but I admire his ideas. But in 1997, when Steve Jobs returned to Apple, he inherited an unmitigated disaster. Stocks were down, profits were non-existent, products were lackluster, they were spread pretty thin, and he came in and wiped the slate clean and said, you know what, we're going to do four major product categories. We're going to go pro, consumer, desktop, portable. If they don't fit into those categories, we're not going to make them. We're not going to make that product. Now, in 1997, there was a lot of things that Apple could have done. There was a lot of things in a lot of different directions that they could have went, but there was a lot of things that Jobs said that they weren't going to do. because it would detract from their focus on the things that they really wanted to make. And he famously said this line. He said, part of focus is saying no. Part of focus is saying no. Just because we can do it must not mean that we must do it. 15 years later, Apple still sticks to those same product categories. They're the most profitable company in the world. We need to be able to say no. No may be the most powerful word we use when it comes to making time for our families. No will help us focus on what's really important. No means I won't work late tonight. I'll work again tomorrow. Work will be there tomorrow. No means I won't take on too much. I won't take on too many activities. I won't let my employer pile stuff on me. I won't fill in the blank. I won't sacrifice weekends to go to work or be at the office. No means I won't make promises that I can't keep to my family. That's incredibly important. No means I won't compromise when it comes to making my family's needs a priority. No means I won't make my career more important than my children. Sometimes saying no can be incredibly powerful. And in a sense, Matthew 6:33 applies even more here. When we put God first, we say no to everything else. Being close to God will directly impact us being closer to our families. According to Stephen Covey, the author of The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, he says this, the essence of effective time and life management is to organize and execute around priorities. So ask yourself tonight, what are my priorities? Is it service to God or something else? And if it is, are my children seeing that? So number one this morning, number one, or this evening, I keep saying this morning, I'm stuck on this morning, because we don't have our priorities straight. Number two this evening is because there's just, quote, not enough time. How many times have we found ourselves saying this? There's just not enough time in the day. Imagine for a second that you won a contest. There's a little catch with this contest, though. You get $10,080 every single week. The catch is that money is deposited into your account on Sunday morning, and it's taken out, whether you used it or not, on Saturday evening. You can't use it. You have to spend it. You cannot invest it, save it, transfer it, or buy stock with it. You have to use it. You do get some $10,080 of something every week, but it's not dollars, it's minutes. And the way that we choose to use those minutes, every time that big hand takes a lap around the clock, the question whether today is or not, or you're spending those moments wisely or foolishly. Think of the time that we have. We have 1,440 minutes a day. What percentage of that are you spending with your family? What percentage of that are you spending in prayer to God? What percentage of that are you spending complaining? Something to think about. Sometimes we say, there's not enough hours in the day. There are 24 hours in a day, and we kind of need to get used to that. We need to encourage our kids, encourage ourselves, to lessen the activities that we participate in, to cut down on some of the stuff, cut down on some of the cruft that we participate in. Parents that placed other activities, and this was done in a study by the Barna Group, parents that placed other activities over God and church have raised kids to believe that God was not important, and they abandoned him in college. We need to encourage worship and youth activities and things here and God at church and over extracurriculars now. We need to encourage our kids and encourage whoever may be in our families who need a spiritual identity to form their own spiritual identities now. We need to pray with our family, not just at the dinner table, now. We need to ask the hard questions about life decisions and about spiritual decisions now. Because later, when kids are off on their own, they will remember what you've said. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8 is the famous a time for everything passage. There's a time to plant, a time to pluck up with this planet, a time for war, a time for peace. It illustrates to us that there is a time for everything. There is a time for your families. There is a time when we need to be firm with our time. We need to realize that there's a time for us to put down the cell phones and put down the iPads, and a time to turn off the TV, and a time to just sit with our families at the dinner table and actually talk to one another and actually talk to our wives and husbands. I think that's been a thing that's been lost in this society. Colossians 4:5 tells us that we need to walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making best use of the time. How do you start influencing others for Christ? Well, you start with your own family. You start with those closest to you. The time that we have with them is incredibly valuable. I've seen this illustration done a couple of different times at a couple of different places, but if you take just an average thing of a huge thing right here, go to Sam's Club and you see a big thing of cheese balls. Okay? Now, if you take the number of hours that you as a parent have with your kids versus the number of hours that, say, I have with your kids, say, here at the youth group at Church Street, you know what you can use to symbolize that? This huge cheese ball thing, container you might see at Sam's, has about 300 to 350 cheese balls in it. Okay? If you were to use this to symbolize how many hours you as a parent had with your kids in a year versus how many I have with them, take a guess as to how many cheese balls I would have. Four. This illustration, you would have the bucket full of cheese balls. That would symbolize how many hours you have to spend with your kids and grandkids. You have so much more time than we at church have, and I'm not saying church is not important, but you cannot depend on the church to teach our children all they need to know. That job is done in our homes. There's a time for everything, and there's a time to make best use of that time when we have these children with us. Number three this evening. Number three is because we've forgotten where our treasure lies. Why can we not find time to spend with our families? Well, we've forgotten where our treasure lies. I think that we have become slaves to the standard, meaning that we see the standard that everyone lives by and we want to keep up. Instead of by just keeping up with the Joneses, we sometimes want to be the Joneses. Dave Ramsey says, there is no contentment in the American family anymore. We want to make money so that we can buy things that we don't need to impress people that we don't even like. And that's so true sometimes, isn't it? I want to take that a step further. Not only do we buy things that we don't need, but we become slaves to this supposed impossible standard that we're all trying to reach. Jesus explains this very clearly in Matthew 6. Even 2,000 years ago, Jesus understood the vital relationship, as one author puts it, between gold and godliness. Materialism and living up to some impossible standard is the very opposite of spirituality. Jesus is telling us that the treasures that we have on this earth are temporary and the treasures of spirituality are forever. The verse that was read before in Matthew 6, and I've got the wrong verse up there, but Matthew 6, 19 through 21, we'll go ahead and read it again. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. It says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where neither thieves break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And you drop down to verse 24. He says, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You know, back then, they didn't keep money in banks. The rich people did. But the normal, common people did not keep money in banks. You talk about, and we joke about sometimes, money under the mattress. They quite literally did that sometimes. And thieves could break in and steal their entire life savings in one fell swoop. In that time, money wasn't kept in banks, but it was kept in homes. And where we have iPads and nice cars these days, back then it was nice clothes and jewelry. Not much has changed. Jesus did not speak out against wealth, don't get me wrong. He didn't speak out against having security in that wealth. He only wanted to teach these men how to convert their temporary possessions into imperishable ones. So how does this relate to making more time for family? Well, because we want to seem to live up to this standard, more parents work longer hours. We become slaves to this standard. And sometimes kids Sometimes teenagers have part-time jobs that they get carried away with because they have to pay car insurance or car payments or cell phone payments. And a good work ethic is wonderful. Earning and paying for things is responsible, but having it get in the way of your God and your family is not. We need to stop and take a hard look at what we're doing with our money. Are we worshiping it? Or are we worshiping God? Jesus goes on in here in Matthew 6:24, he says, we cannot serve God and money. We cannot let the accumulation of wealth become what we worship. We cannot let our standard of living become what is most important to us. Perhaps the most relevant verse here is in verse 21, Matthew 6:21. I think I have it on the screen. Yeah, Matthew 6:21. Right here it says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Plainly spoken, Jesus says this, whatever is most important to you, that's where your heart is. So this evening, what is most important to you? Is it making money? Is it being with your family? Is it seeing your children grow up to what Lonnie Jones would call a spiritually self-reliant young person? Or is it having maybe a nicer house to live in or a nicer car to drive? Our true treasure lies at the dinner table and in the backyard with our families. Our true treasures aren't in stuff. It isn't up to living to someone else's man-made standard. It's living up to God's standard. So, concluding this evening, as we close, I want to offer a few what I call duh suggestions. These things are simple things that make really good sense, and sometimes we just don't think about them. Sometimes we get so busy, we just really don't think about doing these things with our families. These are some practical things that you can start doing today, tonight, right now, with your kids, with your grandkids, with whoever. Plan to make one day a week to spend with your family, even if it's on a Sunday. Number two, make sure that you emphasize and enforce and encourage a connection with God and church above all other activities. Church isn't necessarily an activity, it's a way of life. We need to make that distinction. We need to pray with our families. And this is just isn't at the dinner table. How hard is it to take 5 or 10 minutes to pray with your family? Sometimes really hard. Sometimes it's incredibly hard to find 5 or 10 minutes in a day. I know. But we've got to do it. Listen and talk with your kids. Listen and talk with your spouses. When's the last time you really listened and talked with your spouse or with your kids? When you're at home, be at home. I think some of you know what I mean by that. Some of us would go home and be not at home, though. We'd be answering calls from work and doing different things like that. When we're at home, we need to be at home. That's something I struggle with every day. And finally, this last one right here, make sure above all that as parents you place God and serving Him above all other things. We as parents, we as children, need to be the example that you want your kids to be. They will grow up to be like you. We don't think about that sometimes, but they will. So, tonight if you've struggled to give your life and give your dedication to your time to God, that connection with family, we give our time to God. We give ourselves to God. That's giving ourselves and time to our families as well. You can rededicate yourself tonight. You can come forward and we can pray with you here this evening. You can rededicate yourself and your family to God. If you haven't decided to put on Christ in baptism, you can do that this evening as well. You can be washed of your sins. You can become a Christian. You can do that tonight. The water behind me is ready. Why don't you come right now while we stand and while we sing.